And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here with another episode with a great topic. Kudos to Sarah Larson, who's on our board of directors, that recommended this topic. And a lot of my work and experience has been with the youth. But let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, right? I don't want to use the word OLD, old, but as the individuals that I talk with on this call, this podcast, say, the more mature age that I think is something you need to talk about. And especially as you become older, your body changes, hormones change, maybe cycling isn't as accessible or easy to do. But I have two gentlemen on this call that talk about how they ride every single day, and they're in their 80s. So I hope you really enjoy this discussion. If you have any questions or concerns, you know where to find us. Please take a moment to go to www.bicycleindiana.org. Join, become a member. That's $25. You can also do it through a license plate at your local BMV. But this is what keeps us rolling and keeps us doing what we do. So if you enjoy these podcasts, please connect with us. Let us know what you think. If you have a topic that you want us to talk about, let us know. All right, enjoy. Welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana Life Behind Bars podcast. Margaret B. here from Bicycle Indiana. I'm the executive director, and I have two awesome gentlemen on the call today that are going to talk about biking and cycling at any age. So welcome to the show, Joe and Warren. Really appreciate you to be, you know, here and talk. So I'm going to first just put, I'm going to put Warren on the spot. Do you want to take a moment to introduce yourself?
I guess I'm Warren Smock. I've been bicycling since June of 1990. I guess I fell in love with it and have never let anything stop me from being on the bicycle. I ride anywhere from 4 to 6 days a week. And right now my average is not as good as I'd like it to be, but my average ride is just a little over 30 miles every time I go out on the average. I don't know what else I can tell you. Been actively involved in bicycle organizations, both in Indiana and here in Arizona, where I'm living now, for the last 24 years.
That's great. That's great. Joe, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Joe Heddle, lifelong resident of Central Indiana. Have been bike riding since 1996. Started riding when I was trying to quit smoking. Every time I wanted a cigarette, I had an old Schwinn in the garage. I would hop on the old Schwinn and ride around the block. I finally quit smoking, but I found out I like bicycling. So I've about 7 or 8 bikes later. I'm still riding, and I'm 76 years old, and like Warren, I don't ride quite as far as I used to, but I have a 31 mile loop out of my home here I can do on a regular basis, and I do that, plus I ride several club rides around the neighborhoods.
That's great. Well, originally I kind of thought, when did I meet both of you? But Warren, I'm meeting you for the first time virtually. But Joe, I think I met you way back at the donut ride.
It was either the donut or the wine ride.
Yeah, the Clinton cruise we used to host, which I look back at it now, I'm like, that's kind of like a PA or a PR nightmare of people riding bikes and going to wineries.
It was.
But it was a really great time, right?
They were. That's where we met.
So my board of directors offered or recommended me to bring up this topic about cycling at any age. And immediately in my brain went right to Marsha and Joe and Joanne and all the pictures that I see on Facebook of you guys riding everywhere and having a blast. And so that's why I contacted Marsha. But of course she recommended Joe and Warren to talk. And I'm just really excited for you to be here to talk about cycling at any age. I don't want to use the word OLD because, you know, you guys aren't old. You're very young and you're still thriving and riding your bikes. And I think it's a great thing. So
let's first kind of kick off the discussion of why you started biking. So, Joe, you kind of talked a little bit about why you wanted to quit smoking. Why do you continue to ride now?
It's an addiction.
Yeah.
It got into my system, and it's just the more I ride, the more I want to ride. And as I ride, as I kept riding, I would go join club rides and group rides, and ended up in being on the board of directors at SEBA, Central Indiana Bicycling Association, and was the PR director for SEBA for a number of years, and also the host and master of ceremonies of the SEBA speaker series for a number of years. And all those things just keep you riding more and more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. Warren, what keeps you moving?
My aches and pains.
Okay.
No, I agree with Joe. It's an addiction. You get up in the, I guess this morning would have been a perfect example. You get up in the morning and, it's 5:30 and the sun's starting to come up and I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do this morning? And I got an 11 o'clock Zoom meeting. But, before 11, what do I do? So I'm leading a ride tomorrow and I need to go out and check it out. So I went out and checked that ride out this morning. And it was just like, well, when you're on the bike, world's at peace.
Absolutely.
It's a clarity of mind. It's, and then you get the physical activity. What got me started was I went on vacation with my son when he graduated from high school in 1990. And I wasn't expecting to be able to keep up with him, but I didn't expect him to, I guess I should keep my mouth clean.
No.
kick my butt as hard as he did. So I came home and I'd been thinking about biking and I started on a 13-week plan to ride a century and found out real quick, this is something I could do and I enjoyed. And I just never have stopped and never looked back. I just keep going. I have been involved, like Joe said, with SEBA in several capacities over the years. And now I'm involved with the Sun City Cycling Club out here. And we just keep the pedals turning. My motto is a bad day on the bike is better than a good day in the office.
That's true. That's good. So we're not doctors here. I'm just going to put that out there and on the record that I'm not a doctor. Bicycle Indiana is not a doctor. But you obviously talk to your healthcare physicians and discuss your health concerns and different benefits from cycling. But obviously cycling is a low impact sport. You can constantly move. There's options of having e-bikes even. But not to go into a lot of detail, but Joe, what does your doctor say about all this cycling? I mean, obviously they encourage it, right?
Yes, they do. I always tell people I'm not as healthy as I look. I have cancer. I have heart disease. I have diabetes. I have emphysema and asthma. And for all those reasons, I keep bicycling.
Yeah.
And I did 7 years ago purchase an e-bike.
Nice.
Because anybody with asthma can tell you can't breathe.
Yeah.
And trying to keep, I was actually on a bike ride. It was a group SEBA ride. There must have been 85 riders. And I was the last one in. And that's never, ever, ever happened.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to do something.
Yeah.
And I found an e-bike at Matthew's Bike Store in Indianapolis. They actually ordered it from the factory. And I think it was the first one in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's great.
And I started riding that. And I put about 40,000 miles on that bike. And I've since bought another one. I still have the old one, but I still ride them. I ride them both. But the doctors are all just say, go for it. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Keep moving. Yeah. Warren, I have your notes in front of me. And obviously you gave me a little bit of information about your medical history, but you've had hip replacements as well as some surgeries. But cycling clearly has helped you in many ways. Do you want to talk a little bit about the health benefits specifically to you? And being 81 years young, as you said?
Yeah, I guess just call us mature. mature is a much better word than
old.
Oh,
I like that.
I've had a lot of medical history. As you said, a hip replaced, fell and broke the hip on a bike accident and was off the bike for 6 months with that. Had some open heart surgery before I rode across country. And so a lot of things like that. But the bicycling has done two things for me. The fact that I was a bicyclist got me back up and going, I think, a lot quicker than I would have in any other case, because I was already somewhat physically fit. And then getting after the surgery, you just get more physical fit. But, you know, overall, I'm getting treated for arthritis now, and I go into those offices and I'm complaining about my hands hurting and aching. And I see some of these people in there and I think, damn, I'm a lucky person. So I am not that bad a shape, you know, when I consider some of the people I see that, you know, have got real problems. So I think my health, I feel like my health is good. And I feel like bicycling has been a big contributor to keeping me healthy. Lets me eat what I want to eat without having to worry about it. And that's important to me. And so overall, I feel like I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. And get the
bike. I agree with Warren. I, in spite of my aches and pains and illnesses, I think I'm the luckiest guy to be alive. And I say healthy.
Yeah.
My doctor says you're not healthy. And I have a smart ass remark for him, but I think I look at high school reunions. And people were on walkers and canes and all bent over and I quit going for that reason. It makes me sad to see that. So I just think I'm a lucky guy to be alive and healthy. And if it wasn't for bicycling, I wouldn't be there.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick moment to talk about some great things that are happening here at Bicycle Indiana. A quick little save the date plug for all those who joined last year's Statehouse Day. We have a save the date reminder for January 28th, 2025 is our official date for the 2025 Statehouse Day. If you are interested in being part of this event like last year, please contact us and go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. But the Statehouse Day is a time for all of us to go together at downtown Indianapolis and advocate and talk about cycling at the state level. So check it out.
Looky here who just popped in. I want to introduce you just real briefly to Sandy Gettle.
Hi, Sandy.
She's my lifelong, my partner here. And
hi, Sandy.
Hi, Joe.
She's 82 years old, rides the Centuries for her birthday.
Nice.
And I wanted you to meet her because she's also a very avid cyclist, too.
Sandy, do you want to take a quick moment just to say a little bit about yourself and what keeps you motivated and why you ride?
Why I ride? I love it, but it's also my social life. You know, I ride to the club, and I love that. And that's where our friends are. That's our family out here. We're in Arizona. I moved out here because I love the sunshine, and we can ride every day.
Absolutely.
A lot of bike trails, miles and miles of bike trails and bike lanes. And it's pretty flat.
Yeah.
She's very modest. At 65, she did the Underground Railroad Trail with two other ladies, self-contained by themselves. What was it, 3,400 miles?
No, 2,100.
2,100 miles. And so she's, and that was 65?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you heard it from Sandy. Keep riding your bike. You can do it, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Okay, back to business. Risks, falling, potential, you know, the weather, for example. You know, it doesn't get super cold in Arizona or in Indiana, but there can be some pretty chilly mornings, Joe, right here in the Midwest. Do we want to talk a little bit about the risks of potentially, maybe let's talk about falling and how to prevent that?
You know, knock on wood, I've never had a serious fall. Other than on my mountain biking days, but on road cycling, I knock on wood, I've never had a serious fall, or I've never been hit by a car, or bitten by a dog.
Okay.
But I ride in all sorts of conditions. I ride summertime, wintertime. I ride daylight. I ride in the dark. I ride in country roads, on bike trails, and on the downtown city streets. But I try to practice safe cycling and savvy cycling.
Savvy cycling.
you know, and use a mirror and tail lights and headlights and just try and keep myself safe. But I like I say, knock on wood, I've not ever in the 20 some years that I've been cycling ever had an issue.
Sure. And when it comes to kind of the colder, wet, maybe not so great weather, you just recommend some good gear that's waterproof or
good clothing, windproof, waterproof, layered. And go from there. I started out bicycling in a t-shirt and gym shorts and tennis shoes.
And now look at you.
I said, I'll never be one of those guys in the spandex. So at first I bought a pair of shorts. I thought, well, this makes sense. And then I got the jersey. Then I got the shoes. Then I met Warren and I started riding in sandals because he was.
Oh, you ride in sandals?
I've been riding in sandals we've known each other for almost 20 years now, Warren. So that's how long I've been riding in sandals.
Awesome. Yeah.
And
with sandals because of the feel and like I know that there are people that ride with sandals, like Shimano makes an actual clip-in shoe, but it's mostly for diabetic.
I have been riding with clip-in sandals for a good 20 some years. And it wasn't because I was diabetic, although I am now. But there's more comfortable. Your feet stay cooler in the summer times, and your feet stay warmer in the winter time because you can wear multiple layers of socks.
Never thought about that. I wear boots.
You can wear more socks than you can with shoes because they don't clench your feet close. And you just take a neoprene toe liner, put a cover, and put it over your toe.
Yeah.
They say there's no cold weather, just bad clothing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You're in Arizona. You have a whole different.
I used to ride with Joe in Indiana when it was 20. One of our best rides I remember was when it was 25 degrees outside and we went out for a ride and the sun was out and the wind was down. And remember that day? And we had a really great day. We rode up towards Straw Town, I think.
Sure. We did. And partially through the ride, we started unzipping things because we were overdressed.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Michigan originally, and I love that 25 to 30, maybe 40 degree weather. It's magical, and you can layer, like you said, and you cool off when the wind hits you or it's a little chilly. And as long as you layer up the right way, you're good to go. Now, I haven't tried sandals, though, so I'll have to add that to my list.
They're comfortable. My girlfriend rides with them. Joanne does. And I know, like I said, I got it from Warren, but... There's comfortable as can be.
Absolutely. So soreness and tiredness. So I did a little bit of research. I did some homework before I decided to, jump on this call. Tired and soreness. Obviously, everyone gets tired and sore from cycling, especially if you go out hard or if it's windy or it's gross out. But how do you two handle kind of at an older age, the tiredness and the soreness?
A nap.
Okay. Indiana, you heard it. A nap. Warren, what do you got?
Well, I might fall asleep here because I rode this morning and I usually come home and take a nap and I haven't had a chance to take my nap yet. But yeah, you take a nap and if it's something, if you're really, really sore or something, you do a hot shower and I got some liniment stuff that I rub on stuff if it's really bad. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you pop in a Tylenol and rest for a little bit and it goes away. And I don't, I can't remember the last time I was so sore I didn't want to ride the next day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as we take some naps, we'll be okay. I do have, speaking of recovery, what are your best, obviously napping and taking a rest and whatnot. Do you have any specific nutrition that you eat after or during that help specifically that you like? I don't know if Joe or Warren wants to take it.
I eat like crap. I mean,
yeah. What do you eat?
I have a horrible diet. Other than the fact I don't eat sugar.
Okay.
And I don't eat white stuff.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, I'll eat sugar-free ice cream and candy and cakes and pies, and I just don't watch what I eat.
Okay.
Well, you're right. That's one of the benefits of cycling.
Sure. Warren, what do you eat on the bike?
On the other hand, I'm a sugar addict. I live on sugar. You have to stop in the middle, my fellow cyclists out here joke that my bicycle knows every donut shop in the area, which is probably true. But I pretty much just eat normal meals. I try to eat reasonably healthy, but I'm not a fanatic about it. I try to get some good protein, at least once a day. And eat a lot of bread, which is, a lot of carbs. On a normal ride, you'll see people on 25 and 30 and 35 mile rides. And every time you stop, they're getting out their power bars and stuff. And I don't do that. I can usually ride up to 50 miles without even having to have anything to eat.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm going to ride longer than that. Like what I do with Centuries, I usually start trying to do some Gatorade early on because I find that that makes a big difference towards the end of the ride in my strength level and the last of acid buildup in my legs. But for the most part, I just eat a normal diet. Sandy would tell you it's way too much sugar and not enough vegetables, but other than that, I don't do anything special. I just
you eat what you want.
I eat when I want and where I want and when I want.
That's great.
And go, and if my weight's too high this morning, I just ride a little bit farther.
Yeah, it's interesting. Warren says he eats lots of bread. As a diabetic, I can't do that.
Right, right.
So I have to find my power more through protein than I do through carbohydrates.
Sure. I have a couple of friends that will go to a gas station and eat like two greasy pizza, pieces of pizza. And I just sit there and look at them going, how on earth? I know, thumbs up is what Warren's doing right now. I'm like,
I'll get the fried chicken and the beef jerky.
Oh, God bless your heart. Even at the Hilly 100, I watch people eat fried chicken. And I'm like, how are you going to climb some of these hills after eating four or five pieces of fried chicken? But you know what? Maybe everyone. Yeah.
You can do it.
So let's talk a little bit more about e-bikes. So Joe, you mentioned already that you have had two e-bikes. Do you want to talk more specific about what type of e-bike? Like describe it to our listeners.
Well, the first e-bike I bought was a Raleigh brand. Mm-hmm. And they actually no longer sell in the United States. But Raleigh, it looks like a bicycle. And it was built on a bicycle frame. They just modified the bottom bracket and added a Shimano motor to it. And it has electronic shifting. Mm-hmm. And the neatest thing about it is when I come to a stop sign, I don't have to downshift because it automatically downshifts.
Fun.
It shifts down to fourth gear automatically after I stop for 30 seconds.
Fun.
But it has three assists. Low, medium, high, or turbo, or whatever you want to call them. And it because of my lungs, I tend to ride in the higher assist most of the time. I bought a second battery to carry in a trunk bag on the back. So I can ride 80, 90 miles at full turbo assist and get that done. But after 7 years with it, I thought, I it's going to wear out one of these days, and I probably should look around. So since then, I bought a specialized e-bike. I think it's called a Vado or a Vado or something.
Those are nice. I've seen them.
Yeah, I've got that. And it doesn't have, they made the bike lighter by reducing the battery sizes.
Right.
I don't have the range with that bike that I have with the Raleigh because of the reduced battery, but I do have spare batteries for that bike also.
That's great.
And it has standard shifting. More like mountain bike shifting, which I enjoy because I kind of missed that from the old days.
Right. So this one you're saying doesn't automatically shift like the Raleigh one.
Right. And I have to remember when I come to a stop sign, you got downshift.
Right. Right.
Just, after years of not worrying about it, I have to do that now. But it's, I can carry, my girlfriend and I tour and I put saddlebags, the panniers on them.
Oh, I see it on Facebook. Don't worry.
And we can go out for 6-7 days at a time and ride. And I've done it with Warren and Sandy, and we really enjoy that. We rode down in southern Arizona a couple of years ago and went through Tombstone and Bisbee and Benson and down near the border. And we were being tracked by the Border Patrol balloons. We went through a Border Patrol crossing and they said, "We know who you are. We've been watching you for days."
Oh, that's funny.
So, it's neat. And, we Joanne and I have taken our bikes I'm probably getting off subject, but we've taken them on touring. We've got on Amtrak and left Indianapolis and gone to Chicago and then to Albuquerque and then rode through New Mexico. We rode in New Mexico, but we didn't ride. We took cars from place to place to place. And in Arizona also, and then got back to Albuquerque and turned the rental car in and got back on a train and back to Chicago, back to Indianapolis.
That's awesome. Warren, do you have any experience with an e-bike or do you ride an e-bike?
I just recently purchased an e-bike late last year. I was thinking I was going to have to get one sometime this year or later, maybe. The guy made me an offer I couldn't resist, so sure. I bought it. I do not ride it often. I usually ride it on our Thursday club rides. Our Thursday club rides are a little bit faster, and I was having a little bit of a hard time keeping up. And so I usually will ride it on the Thursday rides. I'm leading the ride tomorrow, and I will ride the e-bike, the lead, just because people like to go a little faster than I normally go nowadays.
Sure.
And so that keeps, you know, consideration of what they like to do. It makes it easy for me. But overall, I still prefer my regular bike. But the day will come, I'm sure, as I go further and further, that I'm going to be doing more and more on the e-bike and less.
Sure.
They really have revolutionized bicycling. Mm-hmm. And there's for the most part, they've got a perfect place in the bicycling community.
Absolutely.
And as Joe said, in his case, he wouldn't be bicycling with us without an e-bike. And we've got several people in our club that ride e-bikes they're in the same situation. They would not be bicycling if they didn't have an e-bike.
Absolutely.
And so I'm all in favor of them.
I remind myself that I bought the e-bike so I could keep up with my friends, not so I could go faster.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting as when I started this job, and I don't know, Joe, if you've been following kind of Margaret's timeline, I guess, but I started with Bicycle Indiana a little over a year ago, and my background is working with kids and getting mountain bike teams started in the state of Indiana. And so Bicycle Indiana hired me, and it was a whole new kind of like world for cycling for me on the advocacy side, but also kind of the political, but also just getting out to the different areas of the state. But the biggest thing that shops wanted was e-bike resources because the e-bike industry was booming. This was like two, three years ago. And it's brought so much accessibility and inclusivity to anyone that wants to really ride, not because they want to go faster, but just so they can ride their bike. And the biggest thing that I got feedback, and we created a little e-bike law card so people could ride around in their pocket in case something happened and they could pull it out and say, well, actually, these are the state laws, you know, and Joe, if you want something for the state of Indiana, I'd be more than happy to mail some to you.
I think you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're little pocket size. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
So I've seen many great stories, very similar to you two, about how e-bikes have really improved cycling for the individual. One of my good friends, she had some health issues and got an e-bike, and she just kept not keeping up on the rides and got one. And she says, it still makes me work because I don't put it in the full turbo mode. The bike is heavy. And she says, I still have fun and I'm leading and I'm having this great time versus feeling like I'm holding the group up. And so for me, that is a game changer in what I love watching e-bikes, you know, improve lives. And then one of our board members, I'm going to say his name, Fred. Fred has, I believe, the same e-bike as you, the Specialized one, Joe. And he loves it. He just took it on Ragbri and did that whole adventure and the ride across Iowa. And I just really agree with both of you that e-bikes are incredible. They really are great. So if you would recommend an e-bike for somebody to start with in the more mature audience, as I said, or you said earlier, not to use the word old, what would you recommend? Where do they start? Just going to their local bike shop? Do you want to say something, Joe? Or
I would recommend, there's probably 40 brands or more of e-bikes out on the market.
Sure.
And they're all oddball brands and you would never recognize their names. And I would recommend going to a bicycle store and looking at a traditional brand of a bicycle.
Sure.
Whether that be a Cannondale, a Trek, a Specialized, a Raleigh, whatever they are. I'm not sure I'm leaving names out, but they're the names that we recognize in the bicycle industry. And they're also brands that the bicycle stores will work on for you
yeah.
if you have issues.
Yeah.
A lot of bicycle stores won't work on the odd brands.
Yeah.
And I did notice the other day at one of my favorite bicycle stores, they had a sign that said, you cannot leave your e-bike overnight.
Yeah.
Because of the batteries.
Yes.
So many of them have knockoff cheap batteries that set fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to look for the UL approved batteries on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, get a brand, look for your bike shop can help you with that, but look for one of the, they got one of the major motors that works well. And that the batteries are solid, good batteries. Because
yeah.
there's a lot of stuff coming in over the internet, and they're selling over the internet stuff that have bad batteries that explode. They have cheap motors that, you know, and nobody has parts. Nobody wants to work on them.
Yeah.
So stick with one of the major brands and definitely use a bike shop, you know, and it's sort of like a Chevy and a Chrysler and a Ford, you know, there's Cannondale and Specialized and Trek and Giant and a couple of those like that. And they're all pretty much the same. It's just what one fits you the best and what one, you know, and where you get the best deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was out traveling Route 66 a couple of weeks ago on my car and bicycle. And I noticed some of the hotels I wanted to stay at said they would not allow you to bring bikes in anymore.
Oh.
Would not allow you to bring e-bikes in.
Interesting.
So that's an issue.
When I went down to, I was visiting bike shops down in Jeffersonville and Columbus. One shop, I won't say their name, but they had this kit on the wall that was meant for these e-bike that Giant sent to them, the brand Giant. And it was basically a chemical blanket. And the guy explained to me, because I said, hey, what do you need from me from Bicycle Indiana for e-bike resources? And he said, you know, just obviously educating the public about e-bike safety, battery safety. And of course, that was during the time when that big thing happened in New York. Remember where all the e-bike batteries caught on fire. But he had this chemical blanket basically that Giant told them. And of course, don't quote me, but to wrap it around the fire and put the battery outside and just hope that it would solve itself. And I thought that's really scary as a bike shop owner to have, like you said, Joe and Warren, these random brands of e-bike batteries coming in. And my local bike shops here in Terre Haute will not work on the bikes. Well, they'll work on the bikes, but they'll have the person take the battery and they'll work on the bike itself, but not take the battery inside the shop. And I think that's a reasonable request.
Yeah, you know, but one of the problems that's creating, and I don't disagree with them, but like my battery on my e-bike is not removable. More and more of the higher end e-bikes are going that way. They're being built into the down tube,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, you can get to them and take them out, but you've got to disassemble the bike to make that happen.
Oh,
they don't clip on.
Same with my bike.
You know, so it's a. It's not an option. And, you know, and it for me, even though I've got a Specialized Creo, and I'm not too concerned about it, but it's a reasonably high end bike. I'm still a little concerned. It hangs in my utility room, and
yeah.
I make sure when I charge it, that I don't leave it charging overnight. I don't, you know, that I'm around while it's being charged.
Yeah,
because it's a realistic concern. Something even in the best of them, something shorts out on.
Sure,
and that's a concern.
Electra Bicycles, which is owned by Trek, or, you know, they're the same company. They had a big thing that went out about their cruisers. A couple of their electric cruisers are Townie Goes, that if people kept them plugged in longer than you know, the period of time that it charged or past the charge time, there was a higher chance of the battery malfunctioning and catching on fire. And that to me is really scary, because you think, oh, I'll just plug it in and go do a couple errands and then come back. But you said it perfect, Warren. It's like, you got to sit there, charge it and watch it and make sure, you know, things are okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's that's the way we've been trained all these years, just charge stuff that, you know, plug it in, charge it. And when you get back to it at your convenience, undo it. But that's, you know, and supposedly the back batteries are that way, but I don't trust that. I charge it when I know I'm going to be coming, going back and forth, and I can check it and unplug it when it's done. You know, and
the better the bike, the better the battery.
Absolutely. The Yeah. And no naps, right? You got to have your nap after the bike battery charges, right?
Yeah. Right. Well,
smoke alarm gets me out.
Sometimes my naps turn into afternoon siestas.
Okay. Let's talk about gear. Like Joe mentioned this a little bit for the weather perspective of it, but speaking of gear, what kind of obviously you wear sandals, which is awesome, that clip in. What are some other things that you could recommend to somebody who maybe is new to running, you know, to start riding at an older, mature stage in their life? What do you recommend for people to check out and ride with?
First thing to buy is a helmet.
Absolutely. A good helmet.
Absolutely. Get a helmet. And then probably padded shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I would put on the list would be gloves.
Gloves.
Yeah, you know, and then from there on, it's, you know, it's a matter of personal taste. I don't believe how many people are wearing black these days to bicycle. Mm-hmm. I am a real big advocate of, you know, look bright and shiny and, you know, and gaudy, you know.
Yeah.
I've been told I'm a member of the Royal Academy of Octogenarian Cyclists, and we designed a jersey for that group. And a couple of people said, boy, that's a gaudy jersey. And I said, yeah, how about Thank that? You. You
know? But it caught their eye.
People are going to see us, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
Anything you can do to help be seen. So, but yeah, helmet, gloves, padded shorts, you know, if you're going to go clipless, then the shoes, of course. But, you know, I wouldn't even recommend going clip. Either you go clipless from the start or you don't push it that quick, because it takes a while to get used to it.
And so for our listeners that are maybe new to cycling, clipless means that your feet, your shoes actually clip into the pedals and you have to clip out when you obviously want to get off the bike.
That's an oxymoron.
Clipless means
that you clip in.
Right. Joe, what do you recommend for a new rider?
I think the color issue, the black. Several years ago, I bought a jersey at the Bicycle Museum of America.
Uh-huh.
And it's a beautiful jersey, but it was mostly black. Mm-hmm. And I was riding with Joanne. We were coming up Lafayette Road and she pulled me over. She says, I looked in the mirror and I can't see you.
Oh.
She's because you blend into the asphalt.
Yeah.
And you see so many people, bicyclists and pedestrians, wearing black clothes and black hoodies and walking down the street or riding down the street. And you just don't see them.
Sure.
And especially like I ride on the B&O trail a lot. And you see people in black and they come through the shadows and they're totally invisible. You can't see them at all because they're not wearing not wearing a bright jersey and they're not using a headlight.
Right. I always say dress like a human highlighter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think as far as equipment, I'm saying lights for your front and rear for your bike.
Yeah. I was going to say get at least a red light for the back.
Yeah.
And a preferred white light for the front so people can see you coming.
When I worked for a store, and Trek was their main brand, they had a lot of data and videos that trained the employees about front lights, like daytime running lights on our vehicles. And the data and the risks, or the lower of the risk of being, you know, in a potential accident or crash. And I ride with one, no matter what time of day it is, it's always flashing. It's one that fits right underneath my, you know, computer. And it always is running because I want to make sure at least it's going to distract the driver and catch their eye. And it was funny the other day, some of my group was making fun of me. I had this light that was kind of placed a little bit too low behind my wheel. And they said, oh, that's a really smart place to put it, Margaret. That's kind of silly. And I said, not when you're riding in the dark, you know, because it's still going to blink and it's still going to catch somebody's eye. And that's that's the point. So,
Well, as I'm a LEAP certified instructor, if you're familiar with that program. Yeah. And one of the things you get used to studying is the visibility. And if you study the visibility of people's eyes, what they see, it comes out from their eye out to a big V, goes out and widens. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming down on the right-hand side of the road or in a bike lane, the person sitting coming in even from a side street, his vision is not going to see you until you're right at the intersection, unless there's something there to cause him to look a little bit more to his left or his right.
Yeah.
So, you know, those flashing lights are just, they're essential. So in addition to the clothing, I agree with Joe, get some decent lights. And they're not that expensive anymore.
Yeah, you can find some pretty cheap ones that are rechargeable.
If you want to extend your cycling seasons, which I'm not sure I've ever agreed with the term season, because I ride year round.
January and December, buddy.
Although I have to admit that the more mature I get, the warmer the temperature needs to be for me.
Yeah.
those 25 degree days, I don't do so much in anymore.
Well, let me tell you this. You know, you talk about Arizona, right? The clothes I used to wear on that 25-mile bike ride we talked about out there in Indiana.
Yeah.
I wear those now in 45 degree weather out here. My body has adjusted to the temperature, you know, really, really well, you know. So I'm bundling up out here when it's 45, where I used to bundle up for 25.
Right.
You know, extending your season means getting a decent windbreaker.
Yeah.
maybe a decent pair of long finger gloves, maybe a nice pair of wool socks. Maybe long pants of some sort, you know, windbreaker pants or tights. Not everybody wants to wear that kind of thing. You know, we talked about bike shorts earlier. You can also buy the I call them inserts, but they're like underpants.
Yeah.
They're like padded underpants. And you mm-hmm. put them on, and put cargo shorts on over them. Some people don't want to be seen in the bike shorts. I just think it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Our group here recently discovered heated gloves and socks. She found some on Amazon, my friend, and they last 2-3 hours and you have different settings. And she says her thing, because she has Raynaud's, is that how you pronounce it? But she rides with them because her circulation in her hands are not that great. But my buddy, Doug, rides with socks, and he just wears regular shoes and just puts these heated socks on, and they just keeps his toes perfectly warm. And I think it's a great thing. They're cheap.
Like, we use those inserts you can buy at Walmart in the orange package.
Oh, the little hand warmers?
Like for hand, I don't use them for hand warmers, but I have the toe warmers that I use. And then I put them on top of my toes, not under my toes.
Sure.
It seems like on top of your toes is where you get cold first.
Yeah.
You can also get those in like sole inserts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can put a thin sock on, then put one of those on there and put your wool sock on and put your sandals on, and your feet are warm.
Yeah.
Sandals in the winter and warm feet.
It's hard to believe.
I'll have to try it.
We all wear sandals year round.
Yeah, I think that's great.
I was on a bike ride once at one of the famous Thursday night rides in Indianapolis. And a guy told me, he says, this is back when I was healthy and riding an acoustic bike. He says, you're the fastest guy I know in sandals.
I think you still are the fastest guy in sandals. All right. I know both of you kind of mentioned a little bit how much you ride per week, but I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit more again. Warren, again, how many miles and how many days per week do you ride? And then how many miles per year on average do you accumulate?
My average ride right now is 32 miles for this year.
Yeah, for this year.
32 miles. A couple of years ago, I was trying to average 40 miles every time I went out and rode. The last 2 years, I failed at that. I was at 39.9 and 39.7. And people said, well, that's close enough. And I says, no, if it's the goal was 40 and you're not at 40, you're not there. So I, like a true cyclist, I pulled out an old axiom. If you can't meet your goals, lower your expectations. And changed my expectations to try to average 30. And right now this year, my average It's right at 32 miles every time I go out. And at least twice a week, I'm probably only doing rides that are 22, 23 miles a mile. So that means the rest of the time I'm riding over that to have that average. I'm doing 120 to 170 miles a week, depending on, what else is going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The last several years, I've averaged about 6,200 miles a year.
That's incredible.
I will hit 200,000 lifetime miles either in December of this year, late December this year, or early January of next year. It's a little confusing because I'm trying to keep track of the mileage on just my regular bike and not count the e-bike miles.
Sure.
That's just a personal thing for me. It's not anything I hold against anybody else, but I will hit that sometime, probably mid-January. It'll probably be more like mid-January. I'll have 200,000 lifetime miles. So.
That's incredible.
He's known as a beast among our friends.
Oh, I see.
Because of health issues, I don't ride as much as I used to. I'm riding. I always used to say, if you don't do 20 miles, there's no point in going out.
Yeah.
To go to the trouble to get the bike ready, the clothes ready and all that. I will ride less than that now. I tend to do a lot of commuter rides. I have kitty litter buckets that snap onto my bike for panniers.
That's awesome.
And I ride to the grocery store and that's just, 5 miles round trip. I ride to the farmer's markets and places like that. But overall, I probably ride 4 days a week, maybe 30 miles average. So 120 miles a week on average. I also have some longer rides, some 50, 60 mile rides I do. And on average, I'll average between 3,000 and 4,000 miles a year.
That's great. So we kind of talked a little bit about the best advice about clothing and gear and everything like that. But I want to kind of talk about SIBO a little bit more because you both have involvement, even though you're in Arizona now, Warren. SIBO, which is Central Indiana Bicycle Association, which is a kind of like a sister organization to Bicycle Indiana. They put on rides. You can be a member. They have events. Joe, do you want to go in a little bit of detail about SIBO?
Sure. I joined SIBO 20 years ago or so, 25 years ago. It was a great organization. It had probably 30 rides a week, counting the weekday rides and the training rides and a ride each Saturday and Sunday. Some of that has gone away. There's more opportunities to ride these days. People don't necessarily have to belong to a bike club. I know there's neighborhood or kind of not like east side, west side, south side group rides.
Yeah.
That are not necessarily SIBO rides anymore. So SIBO's having a hard time getting ride leaders these days. Where we used to have two rides a weekend, sometimes there's two rides a month. So that has affected SIBO, but there's a lot of competition in cycling these days. There's every weekend, there's some sort of a fundraiser ride.
Tell me about it.
That goes on and people join those. There's funding rides for SIBO. There's funding rides for Bicycle Indiana.
There's events and races that are going on competing.
And events and races that are going on So it's SIBO has changed, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just not, it used to be there were, over 2,000 members. I think now there's between 500 and 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But the club has changed, but it's still a worthy organization.
Sure. Warren, you were involved. I know Marcia told me with the night ride. You were the one that started it. Is that correct?
Yes, I was the instigator of doing the night ride.
Instigator.
it's a short story. I went and did the late ride in Chicago, and which is a night ride through streets of Chicago. And I thought, boy, this was fantastically fun.
Yeah.
We need to do that in Indianapolis. And we came back, and I presented it to the SIBO board. And I said, we'll lose money the first year. Because we're going to do it right, and we're going to take the unsafe stuff out of it. But Chicago was terribly unsafe. It was like the guys took over it was like their night to take over the streets.
Yeah.
We don't want that. And we didn't. But we thought, you know, we'd get a couple hundred riders. We would be tickled to death. We had 600 riders the first year.
That's great.
Made a small fortune compared to what we thought we would do, right? And we've never looked back. We had a put together a committee, and I think I told you in those notes I sent you, we had a very dedicated committee. Mm-hmm. I had a chair that first year, which I'm very impatient when it comes to dealing with advocacy and those kind of things. It's like, just get it done, you know?
You're right.
Why do we need to jump through these hoops? And he was very patient, so that we were a good balance. Bob LeClaire, who was the SEBA president at the time, and we just never looked back from that point on. It just we've had several good chairmen of that event since, and it just keeps going. The night ride is one of the things I'm most proud of that I did. 25 years later, they're still 26 or 27 years later now, I guess, because it's 25th anniversary a couple of years ago. Sure. They're still doing it. Not many things last 25 years, not even most marriages.
Right. So SEBARide.org is their website. You can join and learn about all the different events and rides and be part of the club. Separate from SEBA, but Bike Party, which is downtown Indianapolis. I went last year and it was probably a very similar experience. Maybe you had Warren when he went to Chicago. People were all over the street. There was 800 people meeting downtown Market Square. And I loved the idea. And so I live in Terre Haute and I started Bike Party Terre Haute. Now there's more of an emphasis on biking, and I feel Bike Party in Indianapolis has more of an emphasis on party. Nothing wrong with that. They can do
people
what they
show
want.
Up with cases of beer on their
I
bike.
Know. I saw it and I was trying to take pictures because my board wanted me to post some pictures, and I kept telling all the riders, can you put the beer behind your back and then bring it back out? I don't want any beer in the pictures. But you know, it was a great experience. I loved seeing all the different types of riders, bikes, and the community aspect of it. Terre Haute has around 40, 50 people, which is pretty, pretty decent. It's a smaller city, but there's definitely more, less, beer involved. Yeah. So, okay. I've got a couple more questions and I promise you that I'm done. Maybe two or three. What's your best memory together, Warren and Joe? Warren and Joe adventures, or maybe with your group when you rode together. What's the best memory, or maybe couple memories? Can you think of any?
You know, Warren said that winter ride we did at 25 degrees. There's not a winter that goes by or a cold weather day that goes by that I don't remind people of that ride. So I think that's probably one of my favorite. Hilly 100 rides.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'll tell you what my favorite memory is. Warren organized several years ago a ride. It was a SEBA ride over Labor Day weekend in Corydon, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And we would go down on Friday afternoon and ride into downtown Corydon. They had each have a concert on the square. We'd have dinner while we were down there and then ride back at night. And they don't get a lot of night riders, bicycle riders in Corydon. So we were quite the spectacle. And then we would go out Saturday and Sunday and ride 50 some miles each day, rolling hills. It's kind of like the Bloomington area.
Yeah.
The second day we would stop at a winery and have our lunch there. And found out the guy that owns the winery would actually deliver. If we bought wine, he would deliver it back to our hotel.
Whoa, fancy.
And two cases.
He was a professional bicycle rider at one time, too.
Yeah,
he was a former racer.
Yeah.
So we'd pull in with our bikes. He'd whip out a work stand and say, anybody need their bike worked on while you're here?
And here's some wine.
And then on Monday, we'd do a shorter 25, 30 mile ride. Hotel would let us get a late checkout, so we'd come back and shower and then go home Monday afternoon. That's probably one of my fondest memories of riding and riding with Warren.
Warren, what you got?
Well,
what you got?
That rates high on the list. I would have to say that. I've still got those routes in my ride with GPS library from Corydon. And the winter ride. Just recently, we 2 years ago, Joe and Joanne came down, and I think Marcia was, yeah, Marcia, right. was this
came down and met Sandy and I were driving back to Indiana. We both have, Sandy has young grandkids back there, and I still have my family back there. So we usually get back to Indiana. So on our way back, we came driving back. We came through Arkansas, and Joe and Joanne and Marcia came down, and we rode the Razorback Greenway together.
Awesome.
And that was a great ride. We had a really good time. Unfortunately, got poured rain on the second day, so we're not as diehard as I guess we used to be. So we went to a really nice museum, and then I guess another memory that I liked was when Joe and Joanne and some of his group, and I don't know if Marcia came out then or not, came out as he mentioned earlier when I did. I have in the past put on a tour of Southern Arizona for our bike club here. 3 or 4 days, depending on who all is going to go and what. And they came out and joined us for that when we rode from Benson to Sierra Vista and then down to Bisbee. And if you're familiar with Arizona at all, Bisbee is an old mining town. It's a mile high and built right into the side of a mountain. Looks like one of the Italian villages that's built in the side of a mountain. And so we did that tour, and then we went to Tombstone. Everybody's heard about Tombstone. And the shootouts at Tombstone, and that was a nice loop, and we had a really good time that day. So those are more recent things that we've done.
That Arkansas Razorback Trail is probably one of the finest trails I've ever ridden.
Oh yeah,
40 some miles long, maybe more, and it goes through 22 communities.
Wow!
And they all built it together. They said, "Let's connect this trail so people can go from Fayetteville to Bensonville." bike, and every town has embraced it with breweries and wineries. And that last town we were in, Warren, I can't remember if it was Bentonville or Fayetteville, but they had 3 bicycle stores in downtown.
Probably Bentonville.
It's a small population town.
Something about Arkansas, their infrastructure is just incredible. And I have studied it with friends and just the mountain bike side of it and the connectivity. And I always kind of tell people when it comes to trails and even mountain bike trails and greenways and other things, the state of Indiana is, I call, fractured when it comes to some of that stuff. And you see different parts of the state flourish in trails, like Plainfield. Plainfield has the biggest or the largest amount of trails and sidewalks that connect different areas. And even where you live, Joe, there's more and more trails being built or just accessibility. Yeah. And it's great.
I would agree with you on Plainfield. My daughter lives in Plainfield. So when I come out to visit, I always ride the Plainfield trails. Yeah. It's phenomenal. And you can get on the trails and then it feeds you right out into the country roads.
Yes.
So you're just all, it's a great place to ride. Plainfield is. Yeah.
And I encourage people to travel. Go places to ride.
Oh, yeah.
Going down to Bentonville, Arkansas was huge. And I think 4 years ago, we went out and rode the Cowboy Trail in Nebraska.
I like the name of that.
Yeah, you won't like the trail necessarily.
Oh. Yeah, we ended up riding on the road.
What's wrong with the trail?
We ended up riding the road most of the time, but
they call it crushed limestone. It's a red stone.
Oh,
but it's also in northwest Nebraska, which is also known as the Sand Hills.
Ah.
So they put down the limestone, but there's no hard base.
Got it.
So when it's damp or wet, you'd be riding along and all of a sudden the bicycle just starts going sideways.
Oh, no.
But the neat thing was there was a parallel road. I think it was a state or a U.S. highway. I'm not sure which. But it had a shoulder that was as wide as a car.
Oh, so it worked
out. And so we went out and rode on the shoulders. And then when cars would come behind us, they didn't move over 3 feet. They moved all the way over to the oncoming lane. And when cars were coming toward them, they moved over to the shoulder.
That's great.
It was crazy. I've ridden, Michigan has great bike trails.
I love Michigan.
I've ridden all of those. I've been exploring Florida the last couple of years, and there's lots of trails down there. I had to stop on a trail in Florida this last year to wait for a cottonmouth snake to get off the trail. We had to get a big stick and shove it off the trail.
Yeah.
But there's just great experiences wherever you ride.
Definitely. What about the Katy Trail? I've been wanting to go try that trail.
I have not done that. Joanne has, and I'm not
I've
sure
done the complete. Again. I've done the complete Katy Trail, and then I've done pieces of it. In addition to that, on trips back to Indiana, stopping by it. And if you get a chance to do the Katy Trail, I would highly recommend it. It's not paved, but but it's crushed stone, very tight, and very hard. And so the only problem you have with the Katy Trail is when they have spring rains, they get loaded out quite a bit. So you just got to be sure of that. And another great trail would be the Great Allegheny from Pittsburgh to Cumberland. And then in Cumberland, you can pick up the CNO, which takes you into Washington, D.C.
Right, right.
That if you haven't, if you're looking for places to go to ride, those are all trails car free.
Yeah. So speaking specifically Indiana, I know you mentioned the B&O trail, Joe, and I know that you lived here for a long time, Warren. Joe, what is your favorite spot to ride in Indiana?
If you're talking about trails, I guess I would say the B&O because the Monon was fun at one time, but it's so pedestrian these days.
It's
hard to ride the Monon Trail. It's nice if you start at Carmel and go north.
Yeah.
That's a good ride. What's the trail that runs from Lebanon all the way up to Thorntown?
Big Four.
Big Four Trail is a nice little trail. Warren has paved all the way now.
Yeah, I've done it up to up to Sheridan, but it wasn't done beyond that.
Yeah,
and they've added on recently, right, Joe?
That's why.
It's fully paved. I guess the B&O Trail because it's 3 miles down the street from where I live right now.
Yeah,
ride right down there, hit on it. And ride out to the end, and then I'm out in the country, and I'm riding around. I like riding out in the country, and I like riding through some of the little small towns in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I like stopping for barbecue and ice cream and a cold drink along the way. I enjoy seeing the small towns.
Absolutely. What about you?
I will say this about riding and touring. I think Willie Weir, who's a famous touring cyclist, said you get – allow people the opportunity for kindness.
Yeah, I like that.
And you meet people on the road and they're more than willing to help you, whether it's directions or, Joanne and I were riding one day and we were going from Bern, Indiana over to somewhere north in Ohio. And I said, we're going to turn at this road. And somebody on the front porch hollered, you passed it a mile back.
Oh, no.
and an old guy, we stopped under a tree to check our maps. And an old guy says, come on up and have a beer.
Oh, sure.
Front porch. And just the kindness of people who are so, so fascinated by people on bicycles.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want to talk to you and be your friend.
Yeah.
That's my two cents worth.
Absolutely. Barbecue and ice cream and beer from strangers.
Yeah.
Warren, what do you got? What's your favorite area in Indiana to bike?
Well, I've always liked I like the B&O. I've liked, like I said earlier, the trail system in Plainfield, and it takes you up to Danville. If you're talking about trails, we did the Nickel Plate a few years ago. And from what I can see, and I follow a lot of the stuff most of the stuff in Indiana, so I see all the updates. I'm really anxious to get back and try the Nickel Plate now because my understanding that Nickel Plate has been really expanded. A lot, and I've ridden a little on the Cardinal Greenway, but I'd like to come out and ride the complete Cardinal Greenway. The Cordon, I love riding the Cordon rides. Those are nice rides. And now that I got an e-bike, I'd probably do them again. But it's hilly down there.
The hotels are twice the price now.
I enjoyed the Nickel Plate even back when it was just going through Peru. And the fun thing was that it went through so many little small towns, those are fun. And as you say, those have been expanded, so they go through more towns now.
You'll have to come and see the Monon South once that gets all finished up and ready to go, because that's kicking off lots of miles down south of Borden. I think eventually it's going to hopefully connect to Bloomington, I think. know.
I think it's gonna start like at French Lick and go all the way down to the Ohio River.
Yeah. And connect
to the Ohio. And they're already paving it. I mean, it's under construction. It's being paved right now.
Yeah. So maybe, there's more.
Maybe by the time I'm as old as Warren, I'll be able to ride
it. Okay.
Just hang in there, Joe.
Okay. Last question. And I might have another. I don't know, because I like talking to you too.
We'll forgive you.
Yeah. Joe, what's next? What's the next big adventure? Am I not allowed to ask that question?
Yeah, you are. I'm going to Florida in February, and they have a cross Florida bike trail. Okay. Coast to coast trail down there. I think that may be my next big. It's a 250 mile ride, so it'll take me 50 mile. Take me 5 days, and I might do that this year. So that's kind of where I'm leaning toward my big one.
Sounds fun, Warren. What's next for you? What's your next adventure?
You know, probably the people on my bike club. I haven't done the Southern Arizona Bicycle Tour for about 3 years now, and they've been on me to do it again. So I'm probably going to this next month put that together, and then sometime in probably February, we'll go down there and do 4 days in Southern Arizona.
We might come back for that. And
I was going to let the people back there know. I like to throw ideas around. This group I'm a member of, the Royal Academy of Octogenarian Cyclists, I love to say that, is wanting to do something where people from all over the United States get together that are octogenarians. Mm-hmm. And nobody seems to be able to grab that by the, you know, by the collar and get it done. And there's a couple people and a couple of fellow octogenarians in Tucson that I don't know yet, but I'm going to reach out to them, and we may start trying to put together something for that group in Tucson for maybe early next year.
That's great.
That's I don't know. I don't know how that'll work out, but that's something I've been thinking about. We had one guy in California that was going to do it, and I think he wanted to do it, but I don't think he wanted to plan it because a bunch of us said, "Yeah, we'll be there. Tell us when." And we haven't heard anything back from him. So that's probably going to be one of the biggest things I'm going to be trying to organize going forward the next 6 months to a year. And writing wise, we don't really have any big plans at this point. A lot of times we do stuff on the spur of the moment, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm excited to hear about it and see it on Facebook. At least Joe, friend me on Facebook if you want, Warren, if you're on Facebook. But I am very excited about this discussion and to share it with the state of Indiana. I know everyone will love listening to this podcast. Cycling at any age. And we have Warren Smock and Joe on call, Heddle. And I will get this edited and hopefully out to the public within the next couple of weeks. But I really appreciate you two being on this phone call. And again, reach out to me if you have any questions or concerns. But that's all I got today for questions about riding at a mature stage in your life.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I hope you have a great day. Go take a nap now, right?
Nap time.
Yeah. Nap time. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.